Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with Paul John Roach, Minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here's your host, Paul John Roach.
So, hello and welcome to today's show on World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Unity Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're listening live, this is going out on December 16th, and it'll be our last live show of the year. And the next couple of shows on the 23rd and whatever it is after that, the 30th, are going to be encore shows. And I've got a couple of great ones lined up for you. One with Dr. Irvin Laszlo on the Akashic Records. He was on a little while back, and that was a great show. And then Brother Chi Singh is going to talk about spirituality the week after that. So two good shows. But since this is live, I wish everyone Merry Christmas and have a wonderful holiday season. Today, my wife Wendy joins me, and she has in the past on occasion. It's always fun when she does. And we're going to discuss how 2014 has been for us. I invite you to do your own review of this year. We'll also look forward a little bit to the possibilities of 2015. So we're looking at reviewing the year today in our show on World Spirituality. So welcome, Wendy, to the show.
Oh, thank you, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
And thanks for tuning in, folks, and so we're going to review this year. How's it been? And I ask that question to you as the audience also. How's it been for you? How did it start? How did it progress? I know there's been a number of ups and downs in our world, and there always are, yes? We've got scares of one kind or another, you know, the ongoing terrorist threat, the Ebola scare, and other things that are going on in our world. And if you're not careful, you can focus so much on these things that you feel like life is one crazy mess. And, of course, it's always been that way to a degree, I guess. But when the media focuses on something, that's all we can see for a while until it chooses another topic. So we can't buy into the nature of the world as problematic too much, right, Wendy? It's always like that.
Well, if the media isn't focusing on it, I think we ourselves focus on it. And gossip and before media was around, the word of mouth made hoopla out of things. And the emphasis that was put on the negative, I think, is just something that we do as human beings. It seems to be our nature. And we have to be, I think, cognizant and aware, consciously aware of our thoughts, and to choose daily, to choose another path.
Right. Yeah, thank you. And, of course, in Unity, we always say that we create our own world, right, by the thoughts that we choose to hold in mind. And, you know, for every outrage, there are a billion good things. And right. And I think that we have to remind ourselves.
Not, the sky has not fallen.
The sky has not yet fallen. No. The sun came up this morning as usual, you know, and we can rely on that. And, yeah, the world's been going now for 14 billion years or whatever, or the universe, and we could probably rely on it going for a few more years. So yeah, we have to remember the larger picture, right?
Right, and part of that larger picture too. I think people become they don't know what to do, and they think, well, what can I do? What can my little person do? And I think you and I talked about this, and it's sort of been a thing for us this year, is that you show up the best you can do where you are. That was who you were born to be. And if that's a scientist that's coming up with a cure for Ebola, or if it's the person that is driving mom around because she's too old now, or taking the kids to school, or going to work every day at an office building someplace, that's who you are. That was where you were born to be, and to show up and do the very best you possibly can for that is what you can do to be a positive movement in this world, because I believe that those, you send out that vibration, and then everybody starts vibrating to that higher frequency.
Yeah, nicely put. You know, I think that in the cult of celebrity that we live in especially in America and in the West, it's the idea that, you know, you've got to be famous, you've got to be a celebrity of some kind, whether you have talents or not. Now, you know, you can be a celebrity because you're on reality TV or whatever. But we tend to feel like if we're not one of those movers and shakers, or well-known, or the great and the good, that we're less than. And of course, I think that's erroneous, you know, because I think some of the greatest people in this world are, you know, lived lives of anonymity and yet did the work. And we were talking about that on Sunday in the service, you know, that there are no meaningful or unmeaningful times or experiences, that is just, mm-hmm. are we paying attention, that everything is meaningful, or mm-hmm. If depending on the meaning we bring to it. And I love what you said, you know, doing an act of service to our mothers or whoever it might be, doing the very best job we can do, mm-hmm. at any given time is as valuable, isn't it, and mm-hmm. and as anything else that, you know, might
you can
be done
cooking
on this planet.
Dinner. Yeah, you can be cooking dinner for yourself, even, and nourishing your own body, and you can do it with joy and enjoy doing the actual task of it, and the smell of it, and the preparation of it, and the fact that you're doing something for your own self. You can do that just as well as feeding a group of people, or feeding the hungry, or whatever. It is showing up and enjoying and doing the very best you can at whatever you happen to be doing. I think there's also people are fearful of their talent. They question and doubt themselves. And, you know, I think kudos to all of the people out there, including yourself, that show up and actually use their talent, that they're brave enough to say their piece and brave enough to show who they are, because artists and public speakers, they put their egos on the line to fulfill what they think is their God-given talent.
Right. So how's that worked for you this year in terms of, you know, accomplishing that for yourself? And mm-hmm. we're reviewing the year, you know, how has it been?
I think, you know, one of the things we talked about, I didn't work very much last year, because we were going to India and I was putting it together, and we were gone then some of that time. So I had sort of shut down my business a little bit, and so I had to come back into that. I had to really tell myself, I can do this. I've done it for 20 some odd years. But it felt funny coming back into that and getting back into that routine of working again. As well as, you know, one of the other things that I think I've been very much more active in the church this year, and been doing your platforming and being more out in the public in that aspect, as well as leading a book study. And people that when you're facilitating something like a book study and keeping a group of people going, I didn't even know I had that skill. And if I question it, I fumble around. And if I don't question it, if I just let what I say God work through me, including the platforming and meditate, you know, saying a prayer out loud, that if I just let God speak those words, or the higher spirit within me speak those words, then it comes out just fine, and it's like if my human tries to say it, I'm fumbling.
Yeah, good point, isn't it? Yeah, when you get lost in your ego and what you think you should be doing, we stumble. Mm-hmm. But interesting, being called out to do something that we weren't expecting to do. You know, I'm sure you didn't expect you'd be leading prayers and meditations in services, you know, before you married a minister or whatever. That wasn't what you were called to do. And yet, you know, you stepped up to it to the degree that you want to. And I think that's encouragement to all of us. You know, we can always do new things. You know, we're not forced to do these things. It's still guidance from within. But it's amazing what we can do if, again, we choose to do so. You know, we have that ability within us to rise to the occasion. And I think that's a wonderful thing to understand, too, is that, you know, we don't have to let our fears or our history, you know, what happened in the past, define who we are today. And I think that's a wonderful lesson.
Matter of fact, I think that we should consciously question that history daily and review it, just like what we're doing today. I think we should look at ourselves and take inventory and figure what is our beliefs that are they old, are they antiquated, or is it something that we want to keep with us, and to consciously choose and then shape ourselves that way.
Yeah, it reminds me of the work of Byron Katie, you know, where we examine, she invites us to examine something and ask ourselves, you know, is this true? How do I know it's true? What would it be like if I didn't believe this to be true? Eventually to help us to release the need to have a certain part of ourselves or part of our history to be the absolute truth about ourselves, because maybe it's not, you know. And if we can imagine that it's not, that's the first step in letting it go. You know, we realize, oh my goodness, maybe I don't need to be holding to this past historical belief about myself, that I could be a new person. And of course, it's new every day, isn't it? It's a choice every day not to fall back into that habit, but to create a new habit, a new neural pathway, if you like, do a new thing.
And I think, you know, understanding that the mind attaches and says, I am this person, but that is not the truth. And I think also extending from there that you can find compassion for another person because they have that belief system going on in their own head, and maybe or maybe not they've examined it to see if their belief system hits reality, and if it's true for them today. So you can have compassion for that other person when you're seeing them maybe fumbling around in an old belief that isn't applicable to their life anymore.
Yeah, a good point, and I think that's what we are called to do, isn't it? Is to realize we're all in this together, you know. So when we see our own foibles and others, we don't judge. We just see that it's an opportunity to, you know, to love, to love more fully, both ourselves and others, and in so doing, you know, we free ourselves too, and that's a wonderful thing.
That stance brings you other opportunities, other ways of looking at the situation. Instead of just looking at the situation, like if, for instance, if you're in a conflict with somebody and you just keep on looking at the conflict and putting the energy there, if that understanding that they have that same hurt and that same anger, that same sadness or fear of rejection or whatever that you have, that once you understand that, then you can put those things aside and look for the better in the situation where you can learn from it. And so often I think the solution comes for me when I think, oh, I don't have to do this myself. If I look at this from my ego, if I look at this from what I know right now, I'm never going to find a solution. If I have to let go of what I know and ask for the higher way.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, all sorts of different things come to me.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it works, isn't it? It's trusting and allowing. You know, they're huge words. Mm-hmm. you know, to allow something to create a larger container, if you like, into which things
right.
can drop. Because if our mind's made up, that you know, the container is small, or it's full already with stuff, and we have to open up some room here so it can enter. So mm-hmm. did you set yourself goals this year that you have, you know, accomplished, or how's that worked for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that some of the goals we did, you and I both set some goals, and you know, I think one of my favorite goals that I have is that I want to be around beautiful places, and I want to see beautiful things, and I think we've accomplished that this year. I find renewal in beauty and nature, and what we've taken the time to look at our backyard that's full of trees, and we look like we have a forest in our backyard, and not just see it as trees out there, and I see that every day, but to actually look at the shapes and the colors and the change that we kept on saying, oh, look at the change now, because the seasons brought so many different shapes and colors, and the leaves, when the blossoms bloomed, and we missed fall last year because we were in India, and we discussed that this year, that we got to see fall in our backyard. But it reminds me of also our trip to this summer, and going to Thoreau's cabin, and it was Thoreau that said, "It's not what you see; it's not what you say it for me. It's not what you see; it's what you.
It's not what you're looking at.
It's what you see.
Right?
What you see? Yes. And seeing things anew was really a goal for me this year."
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. You know, it's so often the ordinary things we overlook. You know, we're looking for something exceptional. We want to go to the most fantastic vacation or whatever, or want to get out of the humdrum. But really, there's as much, and it goes back to that thing about there's no such thing as meaningful or unmeaningful experiences. You know, everything can yield up something wonderful if we dare to look and see, not just to look at the superficial part of it, mm-hmm. but to see something within it, you know, the nuances, the light, the changes, whatever. And I think that's the same with a person, you know, don't make your mind up about somebody because, you know, there may be something within that person that you have overlooked. And it's wonderful to see with fresh eyes, and it comes back to that sense of compassion again, because when compassion arises, we see people and situations in totally different lights, because we're bringing a new energy and a new sense of who we are to the situation, you know. And I think that is so important. I'm with my wife Wendy. We're discussing the year, reviewing the year. We're also going deep, which we tend to do in the show, I think, on some themes, but that's good. Analyzing how wonderful it is to be alive, even in problematic times. And we're going to go to break now and listen to these messages from Unity. But when we come back, I want to share something that has been a huge experience for me this year. And, of course, that's becoming a granddad and having a wonderful granddaughter to experience and be thankful for. So we'll talk about that and other things when we return after the break. Join us then.
Wouldn't you like to share the programs that inspire you most with audiences around the world? That's easier than ever with mobile giving. Just text Unity Radio to 72727 and help us continue offering spiritual programs that change lives.
Have you seen Unity Magazine lately? There's a new editor, a fresh new look, and now Unity Magazine has gone digital. Print subscribers, you can access Unity Magazine for free from your computer or mobile device. Non-subscribers can buy single digital issues through Google Play, Amazon, and the Apple Store. Sign up at our website and let Unity Magazine become your favorite digital resource for spirituality and inspiration. To learn more, visit unitymagazine.org/digital.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to today's show. I'm with my wife, Wendy. We're discussing the year 2014. We're coming towards the end of it, so we're reviewing it and looking where we've been, what we've done. Have we accomplished? Where have we failed? But, of course, in Unity, we would say there are no such things as failures, right? There's just opportunities that have shifted in different directions, and we look at it that way. And one of the most joyous things for me is becoming a granddad. And my daughter gave birth in early April, and so we've enjoyed the experience of having a baby in the family, and that's always a wonderful thing. And you know, it's doubly wonderful for me because I get to share it with our church community here, and we put up a number of photos over the months, and it's been fun to share, you know, her with the congregation. Of course, she comes to church sometimes, so they get to see her face to face as well. But
in her christening,
and yes, of course, and we just did the christening a couple of weeks ago, so that was a very special occasion. And I think we had about 25 people up there on stage, members of the family, and it was just a wonderful time. So. It's a joy to bring to see new life and new and see how you know that baby learns everything, and you remember your own children and you remember your own childhood too. It's somewhat about how it was all fresh and new and wonderful things to discover. So that's definitely a joy, and of course I think everybody probably knows at least one child, baby in their lives, maybe their own family or other families. And, you know, everybody without hesitation is always goes, oh, that's so sweet. Because we naturally gravitate to children, don't we? We see them as, they're very close to God, I think. You know, they're still trailing clouds of glory as they come, as William Wordsworth put it. So it's been fun in that regard. Plus, if we like to go shopping, we get to buy stuff for the baby, right?
Yes, that's fun.
And I know some people love that.
But, you know, just seeing Devaney experience something and the wonder in her eyes renews my spirit and makes me want to look at things again and again and again and to see them afresh and to see them new. It has inspired me to do that. I think also the tenderness of a child that contemplating that we have our own inner child and that we're parents to that inner child and to be tender with that part of us and that vulnerable part of us and know that we have not only that vulnerability, but also the ability to take care of it and that's all contained within us.
Right. Yeah. Very good. And also, it's fun to see your own children, isn't it, having children? So yeah. You see that sense of the continuity of life, number one, but also the fact that, the little child that you looked after is now responsible for their own children, and that's pretty awesome because you feel proud of their accomplishment, yeah. their ability, too. And yeah. Again, it reminds me
of a sense of pride that you distilled something in them that – that can act the way they're acting towards their child.
Right, and it always makes me feel like, oh yeah, the world's going to continue okay. That the wisdom continues and all is well. And because I think there's that sense of arrogance when you're young. If you think you're the only generation that understands anything. And of course that's, that's nonsense, but I think every generation seems to go through that. And, that's part of maturation. But, as you get older, you realize, my goodness, there's a flow, there's a continuity here. And I love that idea of the Native American, idea of all my relations and that relations, ancestors and all the ones coming after us are all part of that beautiful flow of God's creativity in the world, and we can trust that. And for some of us, we don't believe, say, we're going to survive after death, and people differ on that, but I think there is an immortality that comes from the continuity of life passing from generation to generation, and that's another form of immortality, I think, that even if we don't accept that we're going to survive, beyond the grave, something does. The spirit continues, and it doesn't have to continue just in us, in our egos. I don't think it can continue in all kinds of ways. So that's a blessing too.
One of the things we've been reading, The Mastery of Love by Dom Miguel Ruiz, in our book study, and he talks about the dream that is given to you at birth, and it's like that ancestry thing coming along. I mean, your mother did it, your mother's mother did it, and so now you're doing it. And
right.
We pass certain personality traits. I know my sisters and I have talked about, we don't act like mom. that we, we have that person, we have personality traits that we recognize in each other. And it's like that, it's like we inherited that. I tell my daughter sometimes when she says, "Oh, mom, you're crazy," when she was little, and she used to say, "Oh, mom, you're crazy." And I used to say, "Oh, that's hereditary." That we do pass along, our traits to each other, whether we reincarnate or whatever you happen to believe there.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Our culture.
Right. Absolutely. And that's another rich subject, actually, and it reminds me of the work done by Jung on the collective unconscious and the archetypes and all the things that we inherit and pass on, and how rich that is in our society. We have societal archetypes that are very meaningful, and I guess this idea of the closing of the year and the coming of the new year is one of those archetypal moments where we look back and then we look forward, and that happens every day, but there's something about the end of the year and the Christmas time and then the New Year's that is very powerful, I think, in terms of taking stock and then deciding how we go forward. One thing you mentioned earlier was that you got back into your work situation this year more than you did in the previous year, and of course you have an interesting profession, don't you, Wendy, in the sense that you're a custom home builder and a contractor, and that's typically not something that women do, and so a lot of the folks that are working, subcontractors, whatnot, don't always expect a woman to be in charge of them, and so there's always that it's an opportunity, I guess, for them and you. Of course, you've been very successful in doing this and got teams of people that you work with and are comfortable with you. But That's created a few challenges over the years, right?
Yeah, it has. It's something that, you definitely have to work for people that, or work with people and work for people that don't look at a surface, that they're not looking at the architectural person and saying, well, you can't do that because of this, because of the way you look. I know since we've been married, we've talked about and had things happen where you know nothing really about the other than the basics of building and or construction. But if you're with me, most of the time people will defer to you and look at you and address you and like just totally look past me, even though I'm the one talking. They're looking at you. It's a really interesting dynamic because it's like we're trained to do that. It's like we're trying to talk to the man, and to break through that is it's interesting. It's been interesting my whole career of looking at that, and I think that it's again one of those issues that if you look at it on the surface, if I took offense to that, then I would get nowhere. That I have to look. I have to discern. Can this person look for me, take direction from me? Will they produce the job that I need produced for the amount of money I need it produced for? And either they can or they can't. And I remember early in my career being concerned, this person came with a good recommendation. What if I pass this one up and I'm not going to find somebody that can do this job I learned to trust that that my people that work for me will come to me, that we will work as a team, and that all is provided for there. And it's interesting where I found some of the people that work for me, but some of them have worked for me for very long times and watch their kids grow up and know about their families, and that creates a team that is supportive of each other. But it is interesting though how we categorize people. And again, it's one of those things. I think that racism goes in there. We have to be very aware and cognizant of how what we're thinking, because we might, for instance, say we're not racist, but we might reexamine some of our thought processes and how we're speaking and whether that's actually so or not. And
right.
To examine how we just deal with people. I mean, there's my daughter's a geologist. She's also working in a world of that's mostly male dominated, and she's also short. And so it's like, do you make up for those physical qualities that you have, or does your knowledge and your voice speak loud enough? And I think delivery has a lot to do with that. That confidence has a lot to do with overcoming some of those preconceived notions that people might have about you.
Right. Yeah, and you're right. We we still live in a world where there's an inequity here. We happen to live in Texas, of course, and equal pay for equal work is not guaranteed in this state, and unfortunately, and that seems totally ludicrous to me. At the beginning of the 21st century, it seems like that should be guaranteed, but we're not quite there yet. So there's still work to be done. And as we speak, there's been the long debate now about, what happens in African-American communities and the police tactics and whatnot. And unfortunately, there's been a few events lately that have triggered, some demonstrations and whatnot. But, I think it's important that we debate these things because, you know, after all these years of civil rights and everything, that there's still some inequity there, and and some work to be done. And you know, we understand also that the you know, the police, you know, working to their best ability and have a hard row to hoe sometimes, but but I think part of society, and I think we've lost this a little bit, is to discuss, you know, openly, you know, from different points of view, and have dialogue, and you know, I think our government has become so divided that it's afraid to even debate things, and I think that's part of the strength of democracy and the strength of America is our ability to see from all viewpoints and come to some kind of understanding. And I hate to see that demagoguery and that you know, divisiveness happening in our culture. And and again, you know, not to get political, but you know, I think some of the things that our president has had to put up with would not have happened with a white president. And I people say, oh well, it's not racist, but it's hard to see how it couldn't be when you look at some of the things that are said, and that's a sad thing, I think, because we need to rise to a higher level, and you know, and we can't do it, as you said earlier. You know, what can we do? Okay, we're not in positions of power. What we can do is live our lives with integrity, right? With fairness and compassion, and that vibration, as you said, will spread. So, you know, coming back to your work, I think it's wonderful that, you know, you're breaking a gender stereotype, and for all those women out there who are doing the same and succeeding in industries and businesses, you know, kudos to you, because this is so important, I think, that all people, regardless of who they are represented equally in our society with equal opportunities. So this is extremely important, I think.
Well, I think, you know, going back to what you were saying also about the, like, for instance, discrimination and racism and what we can do about it. What we can do about it is, again, I think, really examine what our beliefs are and be brave enough to say, you know, hey, I didn't think I was really that judgmental. But wow, when I really looked at my thoughts and thought about things and thought about my actions in the recent, you know, time, maybe I am a little more judgmental or racist than what I thought I was. Maybe I need to learn some more and work on that a little bit more, because I do think that honesty about where we are in the world, instead of trying to cover up the problem and say, oh, we're past racism, for instance, you know, well, maybe we're not.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we haven't quite gotten there. Maybe we've made leaps and, you know, leaps and bounds for it. But maybe we don't, you know, unfortunately, maybe we waited until a catastrophic event, like Ferguson happened to say, oh, gee, maybe we ought to go back and revisit here so that we can prevent something like this in the future.
Well, so often it takes, unfortunately, you know, catastrophic events, doesn't it, to get our attention, whether that be in society or in our own personal lives, you know.
Like having a car wreck or a divorce.
Yeah, or a disease that hits us, you know, that we can't ignore anymore. We've got to change our patterns and everything. I'm with my wife, Wendy. We're discussing the year that's almost at an end. And in the third segment, we're going to come back and look at 2015. How we can look forward, some of the goals we might want to set, and how to avoid setting ourselves up for failure. I think that's important. So we'll talk about that when we come back after these messages from Unity. Join us then.
Hello, listeners. Did you know we've gone mobile? That's right. Your favorite Unity online radio programs are available on your mobile device. Now you can take us with you wherever you go. Using apps from Live 365 or Stitcher, you can listen to Unity online radio live or on demand. To learn more, visit www.unity.fm and click on mobile listening.
spirituality into your own hands? Bucking corporate religion in favor of finding your own path? Do you cross the boundary between religion and science? Or between religions themselves? Do you like a dose of humor with your truth-seeking? If you answered yes, you're what we call a holy rascal. Join Rabbi Rami Shapiro for How to Be a Holy Rascal, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Central. Rami and his guests will engage in lively, humorous discussions about what it means to be a spiritual human being in the 21st century. How to Be a Holy Rascal, Wednesdays at 11 a.m., only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Now back to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to segment three. We're reviewing the year. I'm with my wife, Wendy, and we're looking at aspects of the past year, ways we've accomplished goals, looking at ordinary events and seeing the meaning in them. We've talked about, you know, the state of the world and the fact we can't buy into it too much. We have to maintain a centeredness that comes from that spiritual awareness deep within. And in this third segment, I want to look at next year, because, you know, time doesn't stop for any person, as the saying goes, and things move on. There's goals to be set. And in the Unity Church, we tend to honor that by having a burning bowl service at the beginning of the new year, where we burn up the old and affirm the new. Some people have a white stone ceremony where they write an affirmation or a word of power on a stone as their lodestone for the year. And I think it helps to set goals. The downside is that we can set ourselves up for failure, you know, by having too rigid an idea of what those goals are. And I think that there has to be room for change, right? For flexibility. And not to beat ourselves up that we didn't accomplish everything we set out to accomplish. It's more, are we moving in a more expansive direction, I think? And goals are there to be changed. You know, I do that all the time. I have achieved something, and then I think, well, maybe I don't need to do something I thought I needed to do. I'll morph it into something else. And I'll just share a little bit about my writing. You know, I had some goals around articles that I wanted to write, and I'm pleased that I succeeded in getting an article in Daily Word magazine. It's in the current edition. It's the opening article. And I've got another article coming out in the January-February edition of Unity magazine, which is a pleasing thing. I had another article back in the earlier part of the year. So these are goals I set for myself. Another goal I set was to actually write a book finally. I've been working on it for years. And I did myself the favor of hiring a coach to help me. And it's well worth it, I believe, because it's already motivated me to actually get some of it done in a way I hadn't done before. So that's something that I set as a goal. And I didn't have the idea of a coach until later in the year, but it made sense. And I'm glad that I committed to that. So flexibility. Mm-hmm. Flexibility is the key here, I think. And, of course, there's nothing more the need of flexibility than an upcoming wedding. And my wife's daughter, Natalie, of course, my stepdaughter, is getting married to her fiancé, Nick, next year. And actually in April, so it's not too far away now. So there's lots of things to prepare for, isn't there? But staying flexible is key, I think.
Mm-hmm. And staying flexible and balanced. I mean, that's one thing you and I talk about all the time, is how much time and energy you're going to give to certain things. And I think one of the things I have to watch is not worrying about things, because I'll spend more time, if I'm not careful, worrying about something. And it takes energy to do that. And when you don't worry, when you compartmentalize so that you complete your task, you do your task, you know where they are, you define them, and then you can complete them. And it definitely makes for a cheerier accomplishment. And not getting overwhelmed with, like, for instance, the wedding, and thinking, oh my goodness, am I going to have enough time to do that and work? And, you know, how I'm going to work my jobs around taking off for the time and being present for my daughter and helping her, mainly since we don't live in the same city, and whether it's via telephone call but giving quality time to whatever task that it happens to be, and not being not cheating that time that you designate, whether it's for writing or talking on the phone, planning a wedding, or putting a bid together, or an article together, which is one thing that about your goal of writing your articles. You didn't set a goal to write 5 articles. You set a goal to express some subjects, and you accomplished that. It was like they found their place. You knew that you had certain subjects that you wanted to address, and it was like the Right and Perfect magazine or publication came along for that to happen for you.
Yeah, I like that.
Your emphasis was not on, I'm going to write 5 magazine articles. Your emphasis was on, I have these things to express. And I think a lot of times people get bogged down with the end accomplishment, and it's like, a goal doesn't have to be an end accomplishment. It doesn't have to have the outcome. You don't have to have a goal that has an outcome to it. You can have a goal that is just an achievement out there. And I think a lot of times what happens is then you revise, you revamp, you re-examine, because greater things come from having that vision like that without an open-ended vision.
Right, that's true. And also, you know, when you've got something to say, you're usually excited about it, and so there's energy and motivation. But if you say, "Oh, well, I'm going to write 5 articles," it's like that's an abstract idea. There's not much juice to it. When you know that there's something you want to say, then there's energy and power accompanying those things, and then everything else moves to you know, like you said, to open up to that. Mm-hmm. I think that's so true. You know, forget writing, but in anything we might do, you know, what is your passion? I know famously, you know, Joseph Campbell said, "Follow your bliss," right? But it's a wonderful statement. It's the idea that what are you passionate about? Because you're not going to really accomplish anything if you're not passionate, you know, in whatever endeavor you're involved with. Very few people have succeeded because of their blah about something, you know. You got to have that vitality and that push, that drive, if you like. Not you know, to the extent that you can't enjoy life, you know, you're so driven. I think that's the other extreme, but there has to be a sense of wow, I want to do this, and life will cooperate with that. I think that's a powerful thing. Both the row and Goethe talked about that.
Yeah.
So what are your goals for 2015, Wendy?
Wow. you caught me. Was this segment over? Well, you know, I think my goals for 2015 are to continue to settle my self in the belief of that everything is provided for, and that's one thing that we didn't talk about last year. About this year was, you know, we brought the church was. Our church community was struggling at the beginning of the year, and I don't think anybody thought that we would end up in the black this year, and we have. And it's just when there was a turning point in there, and it was like, we're going to make it. We're going to do this. And when it happened, that commitment in there, and it was like, we did. And we did it. And we talked about that turning point in there and getting and seeing it as possible, and I want to work on that for 2015. I want to work on being more expansive than what I have been in the past, and I'm not even sure what that looks like. If it's in my job expansive, if it's in my creativity expansive, if it's learning a new trade or learning a new talent or expanding that, I don't know. But I think expansion is really something that I'm going to concentrate on for 2015.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice. And, you know, part of the shift that we experienced was that we stopped looking at our liabilities and began to focus more on our assets. And in other words, you know, focusing on the good that was already here rather than the need that we had. And I think when there's a downturn in anything in our lives, as a church or as individuals or families, you know, there's a danger of focusing on the need. Oh gosh, we're in trouble. We got to focus on how we're going to get out of this. And you know, obviously you have to look at it. You can't deny it, but I think it can lead you astray. Sometimes you have to focus on, well, what's the good here? What can I bless?
Right. And it goes. What do we have to work with here? And let's vamp it up. Let's go on it.
Yeah. You know, remember Myrtle Fillmore? You know, when somebody said that they were very low on their money and they only had a penny or whatever it was, and somebody said it was one of the part of their circle, I guess on the board or whatever. Let's pray that our money holds out. And Myrtle said, no, let's pray that our faith holds out. And I think that's the shift there, you know, from money, which doesn't seem to be there, to the faith, which always knows that the flow is there. And so I think that's so typical of the success of Unity as it grew, you know, into Silent Unity and spread around the world, was because it kept true to the Myrtle's understanding there. And it was a quiet optimism, I think. It's not that Unity ever wanted to be, you know, razzmatazz and conquer the world, but it wanted to do what it did very, very well. And I think Silent Unity and other parts of Unity, you know, do what they do very, very well because they're based in that quiet optimism. I think we can do the same.
Mm-hmm. You call that quiet optimism. You could also call it just peaceful trusting in there. It's a peaceful trusting and a peaceful knowing of that flow of that divine energy and the divine wisdom and just that there's an infinite supply of love in the world. And, you know, you and I talked about that the other day when we were talking about somebody. How do you tell somebody, how do you make love, an infinite flow of love, relevant to somebody that is, you know, looking at going into bankruptcy? What does love have to do with the world right now? And you said it was embracing that I am worthy to have, and I'm worthy to be an upstanding, you know, part of the flow of this world.
Right.
And no matter what the situation is, so that was connecting those two things together for me the other day was really a cool happening for me.
Good, yeah. Because I think sometimes, you know, when we're talking about all these wonderful spiritual qualities, we think, well, wait a minute, how relevant is that to the down and dirty events of our lives?
Right.
Well, the answer is extremely important because, you know, that they're the essential qualities that make everything possible. And so it's always a wonderful thing to speak these truths because they change lives, they change our lives, they change the world. And they're not just nice ideas that we add when we're satisfied at other levels. They work through every level and transform everything. And so this is the power of the unitive spirit. Folks, we're at the end of the show. I hope you've discovered a few things or ways of looking at you know, the way you looked back at your year and what's coming up, and there were some tools or ways of approach that might help you see life in a new way. I want to thank Wendy for always bringing insights and good thoughts to the show. So thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas again to everyone.
Yeah, and let me tell you about next week's show. It's Dr. Irvin Laszlo is talking about the Akashic Records. That's an encore. And then we got Brother Chi Singh talking about Buddhist principles the week after that. But this is our last live show of the year. So, again, yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you have a wonderful time and Happy New Year's. And we'll see you again. I have a great show on January 6th called Talking Story. It's about a woman who traveled the world having interactions with shamans and very profound. She's wrote a book about it and is also a DVD. And I found that very, very fascinating. So it's going to be a great show to kick off 2015. But right now, got to go. So take care, everybody. Thanks for listening. And thanks for being part of this voice of an awakening world. It's been a great year. I'm looking forward to 2015. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org. What is the key to happiness? Would you like to find the fountain of youth? How about all the money and love that you could handle? Well, my friends, it is there for you. You just need to strip off the false beliefs that keep your divine inheritance from being attracted into your life. You need to be real. Be vulnerable. Be naked. What are you waiting for? Let's get naked. This transformational program with Reverend Heidi Allfree is an invitation to explore and remove the blocks that keep you from emotional freedom. Listen to Heidi and her revealing guests as they embrace the power of spiritual nakedness as a guaranteed way to live an authentic and transparent life. Expose yourself to your greatness on Mondays at 3 p.m. Central Time. Let's get naked. No dress code required. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
You gotta get rid of your butt. It's bigger than it would appear. It hinders your forward movement when you keep bringing up the rear.
Inspiration only takes a moment. Consider these inspirational thoughts from the Quest for Prayer from Unity House Books. Holding a special, loving thought for other people benefits us as much as it benefits them. In fact, in some ways, even more so. Consider, for example, what happens when you wash your car with a hose. What gets clean first? The inside of the hose, of course, because the water must rush through the hose before it can clean the car. So it is when we hold loving thoughts for someone. As those loving thoughts rush through us, they bless us first. It is a win-win situation.
This meditative moment is brought to you by Unity.
Just like life, grief is a journey, not a destination. Whether it is loss of life, relationship, security, or simply the process of change, have you given yourself permission to begin your journey of grief? Have you yielded to the gift of grace? Join Reverend Chaz Wesley every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central on a virtual navigation from grief to grace and explore new horizons of empowerment, significance, and support. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'll light a candle in your name.
Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.